All right, let's open our Bible, please, the book of Luke, chapter number 19. Luke, chapter number 19. Find your place in the Word of God. We'll read in just a moment and then bring the message from the Word of God. Let me mention a couple of things. First of all, let me say on behalf of all the missionaries and myself, thank you, church, for all that you have done for us this week. The good place to sleep at night, all our delicious meals we've enjoyed, and the great fellowship. And can I say this? The sitting for this service is not on me. It's from the church. Your preparation. You're getting ready. You're being ready. I preach every week. Some weeks we shout it out. Some weeks we pout. I just don't have much to shout about, seem like. But anyway, I get in some churches. I'd rather be in Alaska trying to sell an ice cream to a frostbite Eskimo. Amen. Amen. But then you get in others, it kind of makes you feel like, you know, as Billy Kelly used to say, you want to dive in a bowl of biscuits a bowl of gravy with biscuit in each hand. Amen. Just stay a while. Have a good time there. But I do appreciate everything you've done to make the meeting what it's been. And thank you so much. And then please, I want to mention this. Thank you for all that's been said about the 50 years. And I thank the Lord for what He's done. Brother Hall's been mentioning the special things that are lined up. I had to mention this. Our children are making a scrapbook. And if you want to put a contribution in that scrapbook, write it, and you can do one or two things. You can mail it directly to us. You can email it to us. I talked to Miss Ruth, and she said if you want to turn it into her at the church office, and she can sign the date to get it down there, then she'll just mail them all together. Be sure if as a member of the church you write one, put your church name as well, because a lot of you, I know you have a face, but I don't know you have a name. And so it's a whole lot easier to be sitting there and wondering, now who's this? Where are they from? Put your church name in there. But it'll be a keepsake the children are preparing for, my wife and I. And so if you want to have a part, you feel free to do that. You can go on our webpage, harvesttimebroadcast.com, and down by the picture of my wife and there, there's a small block there on the side that says anniversary message. You can click there and type it right in on the internet there, and it'll come to us as an email form if you want to do that. But you pray God will bless us and have His way, and the Lord's will be done. Thank you again, Brother Hall, for the privilege to come and be with you. As I said earlier, this is our 10th year. We came the first time in an earlier part of the year, in 2001. And then after we moved that year, we moved in 2002 to the fall. And we've been coming there ever since. And I praise the Lord for what God has done in my own soul as we've come year after year. Thank you, church, again. Thank all of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's stand together. I want to read a passage of Scripture. I want to give you a thought this morning. I'm not going to preach long, but I want to give you a thought. I've never really dealt with this before. God woke me up this morning with this on my mind. I had unloaded my printer in the car when I set down the computer and typed out a few thoughts. And I went back out and got it and printed out some things here. And I want you to really pray God will speak to our heart. And the Lord's will be done in these moments that I shall stand this morning. Give you something. And I know they tell me, some of you act like you need a smile. But they tell me, some of the hardest things in the world, number one, is to kiss your wife when she's leaning away from you. Number two is to climb a fence when it's leaning toward you. Number three is to preach the Baptist when there's food in the fellowship hall. Amen. Now, I don't mind you sleeping, but if I go to sleep, it's going to be a bad situation. They tell me a terrible situation where preachers dream he's preaching and wake up in the pulpit. Luke chapter number 19, look at verse number 41. Very serious thought I want to give you, then I'll be through. The Bible said, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Can I just make sure you understand where we're at? This is Christ standing, I believe I'm right on the Mount of Olives, at least outside the city of Jerusalem, looking at the city and weeping over it. Look at verse number 42. Saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, encompass thee abroad, and keep thee in on every side. And shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Keep your Bible open. Let's bow our heads and hearts for a moment. Then the message that I believe the Lord wants me to give you these moments this morning. Our precious Heavenly Father, again, dear Lord, today in the name of the Lord Jesus, I bow before you in prayer. Father, I do want to say thank you for the joy of salvation. Lord, I want to thank you for the joy of these days. I've enjoyed every service, and I appreciate all that you've done, Lord. All the missionaries, all the preachers, all, dear Lord, that we've heard in the singing, everything, the kindness of the people, Lord, the expressions of your love. Thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing. Father, I thank you for the faith promise commitment made today. And I pray, dear Lord, that you'll help each one to be faithful. And, dear Lord, I pray that you will restore some of them fourfold and let them know when you do it. Oh, God, do that you want to do. Now, dear Lord, I want to pray this morning for those who listen here in the congregation and those by the radio, Lord, by the internet today. I want to pray that you will speak to hearts. Do what you want to do. Do what needs to be done. And, dear Lord, use this, thy servant and thy word, these moments. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Do keep your Bible open, please, for the message for today from the Word of God. Now, again, and I realize maybe I'm speaking over the head of some of the children, younger people, but I want to get to the point in just a moment where you will understand what I'm talking about. But we're dealing here in the text about our Lord weeping over Jerusalem just before the time that He will be rejected, betrayed, and then be crucified. And He's talking about to Jerusalem, if thou had just known. If you just known, can I say it in this way? If you had just known what could have been yours in this day. But what He's saying is, sadly He's saying, you have missed it. But then He said, the day will come when you look back on this opportunity. Can I say it this way? With much regret. He said, you've had your opportunity. I've come to you. You rejected me. And I thought about this subject, and I want to just give it to you briefly. God, I believe, laid it on my heart. And I want to deal with the thought, looking back with this thought, saying, oh, look what I missed. Look what I missed. I said to you maybe last night or one night this week, and for about 9 years now, I've been using a motto. I was writing a prayer letter, and I wrote a statement. I looked at it, and a thought came into my mind that I write that. I liked it. I highlighted it. It's become my motto. And my motto is, I want to do what I can while I can. So when I cannot, I will not wish I would have what I could have. Now I want you to hear something this morning. I please want you to hear this. I believe every one of us somewhere are going to review our lives. And as we review our life, there will come a time when we will see the lost opportunities that we missed. Brother Hall, maybe you can help me on this. I do believe that there are times that you just grow old and get, you know, feeble and active. And I've talked to some of those folks, and you find them doing two things. They're looking backward. They talk about opportunities past. I wish I had. I wish I had. I wish I had. Then they look forward, you know, what's going to be out there if they're saved. But I believe every person somewhere, you live to thy natural death, old age, there comes a time, I'm nearing that, there comes a time when you start looking back on the race that you've run. But then, are you ready for me to say this? I wonder what goes on in a coma. I wonder what goes on when a person's in a coma. They lose touch to this world, but do they lose God consciousness? I wonder what it'd be like. Is it God letting them lay there and remember? Well, they don't remember as far as human things are concerned. I'm talking about spiritually looking back. I don't know. Then I wonder what happens between death and the judgment seat of Christ. I wonder what happens to a person who dies out of the will of God. I know they're saved. If they're saved, they're going to heaven. But how do you leave this world in sin and be happy in heaven? Well, they have to live with the Lord from the time of their death to the time of the judgment seat of Christ. I don't believe there's no repentance in heaven. So will they spend that time blessed yet in a sense of regret, knowing they got to face the Lord at the judgment seat with wrongs that they've done? I don't know. I wonder, Brother Hall. I'm beyond myself. But I do know this. We may not have time to review our life here. We may not review our life in a state of a coma. And we may not review our life even between death and the judgment seat of Christ. But I'll tell you one thing I know. We're headed to the judgment seat of Christ. And at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to look back and review our life. Now, I would be foolish to try to make you think I know how that's going to happen. But I want to give you a human explanation that you can at least identify with. Most of us in our day are familiar with operating a recording equipment, whether you go back to the old cassette player, the CD, or whatever method you are familiar with in recording. You turn that machine on and you push record. And that machine starts recording, and if it's a video, it starts videoing as well. Then all you do is own that recording. Well, when God let us be born on this earth, He did not give us a memory. He gave us a memory. And God pushed the record button on memory. Now, we may forget now, but I want to tell you there'll be no forgetting at the judgment seat of Christ. And if nothing else, Brother Hall, a word we can understand, all God's got to do is put our memory on rewind. And then put it on play. Are you following what I'm saying? I didn't say He's going to do that, but it'll be that real. You see, that recording didn't miss anything. They didn't miss anything. What I'm saying is, and you and I are before the Lord Jesus Christ, going to have to review our life. Amen. I wonder what I'm going to say at the judgment seat of Christ. You see, at the judgment seat of Christ, I'm going to see the potential of my life, what I could have been in light of my life as it was. Now, I am going to miss, neither I nor you have any idea what our potential really is for God if we let God work through us. Amen. Here's what I want to mention. We will look back either with regret or we'll look back with rejoicing. Amen. I do not want to look back with regret. I do not want to look back and say, oh, I wish I had. I don't want to look back and say, oh, if I could live my life over. I'm by no means in need of the number of the great. I'm by no means in the number even of the better, much less the best. But I want to tell you something. I want to live my life and serve the Lord, where I won't have to leave this world in regret. I don't want to spend my time grieving back on, look what I missed. There are two men in the Bible, one in the Old Testament, one in the New, by the name of Saul. King Saul of the Old Testament, Saul being the Hebrew name, Paul the Greek name of the apostle in the New Testament. But all it's no accident that God gives a triple statement dying testimony of both these men. Paul comes down to die, and he says these three statements. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I've kept the faith. And he does not end there. He said, henceforth, because of this, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You see what Paul is doing when he comes down to die? He looks backward on the course. He looks backward at a conversion. He looks backward at a conflict. Then he looks forward at a crossing. He looks onward at the crown. He looks inward at the cross. And Paul said, I am ready. And I said, wow, I like what I see when I look back. Amen. It's what Paul is saying. And in 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 21, and again I ask you, don't take the time to turn. You have a threefold dying statement. This is not the last day of his life, but it's near the end of his life, of King Saul. You know what he said? Listen to it. The Bible said, verse number 6, back up, 1 Samuel chapter 21, 26, verse number 21, then Saul said, number one, I have sinned. Number two, he said, I have played the fool. Number three, he said, I have erred exceedingly. Can you imagine looking back on life, seeing what you missed, and giving your own condemnation statement? I have sinned. I have played the fool. I have erred exceedingly. Can I say, what a terrible, terrible state of regret and remorse that's going to be. But I want to tell you, there are going to be thousands and thousands and thousands of people that will face the end looking back with regret and say the same thing that Saul said when they see what they missed. I played the fool. I sinned. I've erred exceedingly. If you don't give your all to God, there's four things. I just jotted these down. You could preach 3 hours on what I'm dealing with. But I want to tell you something. When you look back, you're going to understand. Number one, if you're not saved, you miss the joy of salvation. I wish there was some way possible for me to cause you as a lost person to understand the joy of being saved. The joy of sins forgiven. The joy of knowing I have a home in heaven. I spend a lot of my nights by myself in motel rooms. And so the Lord's the last one I speak to at night, the first one I speak to at morning. And He and I have a pretty good love affair going on. I don't know how many hundreds of times, Brother Hall, and I don't say a lot about this. I don't know how many times, 100 times I've said to the Lord, Lord, do you mind if I tell you one more time before I go to sleep, I love you? He's never told me to shut up and go to sleep. Never has. He just said, say it again. But a joy. You see, Israel, when they marched and they set up that tabernacle, the tabernacle on the outside had the badger skin, just old dirty hide. Nothing beautiful. It looked like a dreary place to them on the outside. But boy, if you got inside, you could see the blue and the purple and the gold. You could see all the beauty of the inside. That's the way the world is as far as we Christians are concerned. They look at us going to church, and boy, that must be a dull life. Even old King of Sodom looked at Melchizedek, or looked at Abraham when he died to Melchizedek, and he thought that God was charging Abraham. Must be horrible to have to tithe. When Melchizedek walked away, the King of Sodom walked away, God appeared and he said, Abraham, I'm your reward. I'd rather have God in 90% than have 100% and not have God. Amen. How'd they get off on that? I'm talking about the joy. Having looked back and missed the joy, the peace, the tranquility, the wonderful, wonderful blessings of salvation. Sinner here in the building today, if you're listening by the radio, I want to tell you something. I don't have words to explain to you the greatest life ever to be lived is a life that where one has made peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Some time ago, I had an opportunity of speaking to some young folks in a high school auditorium. And I made the challenge, Brother Hall, to those young people. And I knew there was folks involved in drugs, folks involved in drinking, involved in partying, folks involved in fornication. And I knew they were there. And I made the challenge to that group of young people. If there's any young person in this building, you can prove you're having more fun, more joy living in sin than I'm having living for God. If you can convince me of that, I'll join you. I can't make them understand that. But if you're saved, you ought not have any problem understanding. I've never saw a saved person laying on their deathbed saying, I regret getting saved. Matter of fact, I never saw one say that. I've never heard anybody say, I wish I had not got saved so young. But I've heard several of them say, my only regret is I did not get saved earlier in life. Oh, the tragedy of looking back and seeing one has missed the joy of salvation. Number two, I'd hate to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and look back and see I missed the joy of serving the Lord. Amen. Now, I'll be quick to admit to you tonight, yes, serving the Lord can be a battle, and yes, serving the Lord does involve burdens. But I want to tell you, I'd rather have burdens and battles and serve God and have God's blessing than not have His blessing and not have the burden and not have the battle. But after all, sinners have burdens and battles as well. I'm about ready to have a running fit. Look at me just a moment. I would have said without apology, don't feel sorry for me. It's not a have to, it's a get to serve God. If I could make a choice for my life, I wouldn't change a thing. I'd leave it like it is. Because of the joy of serving God. I'd hate to look back and see I missed the joy of serving. I would hate to look back at the judgment seat of Christ and see that I missed the joy of sharing. I'm so glad. Nearly 38 years ago now, my wife and I got involved in faith promise giving. We haven't given a lot, enough to anybody to brag about, but we've been faithful through these years. And I want to tell you something. We don't have a lot here, and that's not a poor-mouthing statement. But for these 37 years, we've been making deposits in the bank of God. And I want to tell you, the deposit we made in the bank of God is not laying up there in heaven waiting. God has got it invested in the soul winning of people here on this earth. Young lady from Britain, from England, you got saved a little bit earlier. You got, but hey, I don't mean it wrong. Brother Roger came to our church. Brother Roger talked to me, enrolled in our Bible college, graduated from our Bible college, went with me a lot on the raising the support. And Roger, some of my fruit. And you're my grandfruit. Yeah, man. You can call me grandpa if you want to. I don't care. Papa, whatever you call him over there. But I want to tell you something. I was sharing with the preacher. Can I say this? The preacher, this with me. In 1967 or 68, sometime back in that period of time, I wrote a small gospel tract. I wrote this is actually my second gospel tract that I wrote, entitled, Do You Want Peace? One of those tracts made it to the country of Nigeria. A man read it and was saved. And he said the realization a man could have peace and live in peace again was too much to keep to myself. So I got the track. I went to the market. I went to the school. I went to the hospital. And to make a long story short, we got a church now. Can you come and preach our first crusade? Last week I was in a meeting and a lady came up to me and said, Brother Blue, you don't know me, but I have a ministry to the women in the prison here in North Carolina. And I use your material. And she had all got a new set of all 7 of my books. And she said, I don't know how many people have been saved in our women's prison using your material. Am I magnifying me? I hope you're not thinking that. I'm saying God has opened up a door. You may not preach on the radio. You may not write books. But I want to tell you, you can give. You can pray. You can go across the street. You can get involved. And I want to say this. It's going to be worth it. It's going to be something to stand in the judgment seat of Christ. And God said, here's the fruit of your sharing. My wife and I were in Bassett, Virginia. We had closed the meeting on Wednesday night. We stayed overnight. And we were staying in Martinsville, Virginia, right downtown. 3 lanes of traffic each way. Martinsville, Virginia is a sprawling city. And it doesn't have, it's got a lot of the old add-on street patterns. You know, one this way and one this. There's no main road in and out to get. So I said to my wife, we're going to get up early and get out of here for morning work. Traffic starts on Thursday morning. I came out the door with the first load of suitcases and baggage. And I came out the door and turned around to go to the parking lot over here. As I did, there sat a young man, I learned later, 22 years old. I came back by and I'm in a hurry, so I gave him a gospel tract. I was going to keep walking. But as I gave him that tract, he said, looked at it so much, he said, man, I need that. I was just thinking yesterday, I need God. Amen. To make the story short, In my haste, I said, where you live? He lived next to where I closed the meeting last night. I said, you know what church is? And he said, yeah. I said, go over there Sunday. I'm going to. I'm in a hurry, you know. Go over there Sunday. Well, I come back out and he's engrossed in that track. I didn't disturb him. I come back out the third time and he finished the track and he folded it like spoke and then folded it again another time, put it down in his shirt pocket. I said, you read that? You read that? Yeah, I'm going to church Sunday. I need to be saved. Well, I come out the fourth time. He's still sitting there waiting on his ride. Construction crew to go to work. And God said he don't just need a track. And he may not be here Sunday. I said to that young man, you know God would save you right now. And you'd ask him. He looked at me and said, would he? I said, if you're willing to ask him. And he took me to my knees right there on that sidewalk in front of God and everybody. God saved him. Much as I travel many people, I see I ought to have 1,000 stories like that. I don't have. I've got a few more. But all the sadness, the regret of looking by and seeing how many we've let go to hell because we didn't share. Not only there's a joy of salvation, there's a joy of serving, there's a joy of sharing. that there will be joy at the seat. Now, I know we've been taught to fear the judgment seat of Christ, and there is definitely an element of it we dread, we fear. There'll be so many things we've got to give an account for. But I want to tell you, I am convinced there's some things at the judgment seat of Christ to look forward to. Amen. That's going to bring joy. Amen. Some of that joy, Brother Hall, God lets us see and know now. But a lot of it will remain a mystery to us till we get to the judgment seat of Christ. You sit down back at that radio microphone and you preach day after day and you program after program. I don't exactly what you're doing right now. And you'll never know what the people God has touched. I mentioned that just this summer. We had two young men, young black men, 24, 26 years old, saved as a result of the Harvest Time broadcast. I have a letter of a lady from 59 years old, saved. I got a letter from a new listener just this week in Dallas, Texas, and said some things. I didn't get saved. He'd already saved, but the gospel tracts we put out, the witnessing we do with our mouth on the job. I'm telling you, at the judgment seat of Christ, if we serve Him, there's going to be joy. There'll be rejoicing, or there'll be regret. Now, I want to close with this thought this morning, and I'm through. Look at your life now. Look at what you invest in your time, your talents, your treasures in. And then fast forward it to a day known as the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. I want to give you this name through. Watch this. I said, I want to go, Paul. Look backward on the course. He looks forward. He looked backward at a conversion. He looked backward at a conflict. Then he looked forward to the crossing, forward to the crowning. But I believe, Brother Hall, while he was there, he looked inward at the cause. Why am I here? Why am I about to be put to death? I believe three things went through his mind. I believe it'll go through ours. Number one, watch me. Was it worth it? That's looking backward. But number two, look at the present. Standing at the end of life's journey, is it still worth it? There's a lot of things right now, you know, we look like we got long years ahead of us. It might seem like it's worth it now. But when you come down to die, will it still be worth it? Amen. Was it worth it? Is it worth it? But then jump on fast forward again to the judgment seat of Christ. Will it be worth it then? Young man, young lady that listens to me in this building by the radio. I don't know if we're streaming internet today or not, but if you're listening, if you're watching, look at your life. You may be having the time of your life, quote unquote, in the flesh now, living it up. Right now, you'd say, man, that church life, that's not worth it. I'm having a ball. But when you come down to die, will you be rejoicing? Or will you be regretting? When you face the activities of your life over the last year at the judgment seat of Christ, will it be one of regret and remorse? Will you cry like Saul in the Old Testament? I've sinned! I played the fool! I've erred! Exceedingly. Paul comes down to his death, and what he literally says is, I've reviewed, I've looked backward, I've looked inward, I've looked forward, and I don't see any reason to regret, I don't see any reason to make any changes, so I rejoice, I'm ready to be offered. I've fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished course, and henceforth, because of that, there is a crown of righteousness. Let me ask you this question, Andrew. You're not serving God now. You're living in sin. I want to ask you a question. What's next? And you can fill in the blank. You say, well, preacher, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Well, what's next? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. What's next? What's next? What? I tell you, one of those next is be, you're going to die. When you come down to die, I want to ask you, what's next? I tell you what it is. You're going to stand before God. Amen. And then I ask you, what's next? And I want to tell you something. It'll not be you deciding judgment. It'll be Him pronouncing judgment. If you're saved and you're not living for God, your works will be burned. You'll stand empty-handed. As I heard one man of God say, saved but singed at the judgment seat of Christ. If you're not saved, what's next for you are the flames of hellfire. Now, I want to say this again, both of you in the auditorium. I don't know who's in here, I don't know what's going on. But whatever's going on in your life right now, right now, your relationship with God, your relationship with your church, your relationship with the man of God, your relationship with your family, your relationship with the people you deal with. If it ended right now and you stood before God like you are, would you rejoice over the shape you're in? Or would you have regret and remorse over the things in your life? God said, Jerusalem, you had your chance. You made the wrong choice. But you'll regret it. You'll look back and say, oh, look what I have missed. Let's stand together, please. Your heads are bowed, eyes are closed.